I want you to picture someone. She is successful. She is capable. She is the one other people lean on at work, at home, in every group she is in. If you asked her how she is, she would say, "I'm fine." She might add, "a bit busy, maybe knackered, but fine." But she gets through. She delivers. She holds it together. But somewhere quietly where nobody is asking, she knows something is off. She's not unwell exactly, but she's not well either. And she has been in this in-between for a long, long time. She's usually the person that looks after everybody else. If even part of that sounds familiar, if that is you or it's someone you love, this episode is for you. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, and this is the Good Health Podcast. And today we're doing something a little different because this is the last episode of the season before we take a break for summer. And I wanted to leave you with something to actually sit with through the summer, not just a list of tips. So this episode is for the person who would never say they were stressed. The one whose answer to how are you has been some version of fine for so long they cannot really remember the last time they meant it. The one who is, and this is the phrase I want to land, in survival mode and probably doesn't know it. By the end of today, we will have walked through what survival mode actually is, physiologically, not just emotionally, the quiet signs that you are in it, the ones high performers almost never name, why high achievers in particular get stuck here, what years of running on reserves actually does to your body, and the prompt I want you to take into August. The one thing I want you to use this break to find out about yourself. So let's jump into today's episode. Let's start with what survival mode actually is, because I want you to hear it as a real physiological state, not a metaphor, not a phase, not a feeling. Your nervous system has two main settings. There is sympathetic, the fight or flight, the mobilize, the do, the deliver, the defend, the respond. And there is the parasympathetic, the rest, digest, repair, restore, settle. Both are essential. Healthy life is a fluent dance between them. You activate when you need to and you settle when you don't. Survival mode is what happens when that fluency breaks down, when the sympathetic system gets stuck on, when your stress response, which evolved to handle emergencies that lasted minutes, gets left on for years. Your body keeps the engine running, cortisol stays elevated or dysregulated, blood sugar keeps spiking and dropping, digestion is partially suppressed because the body deprioritizes it, sleep loses its restorative depth because the body never quite stands down. Hormones run on a slightly off-key schedule. Immunity becomes either overreactive or sluggish. Your body is, in a quiet but daily way, behaving as if it is in danger, even though the danger is a calendar, not a tiger. And the most important thing about this state, the thing I really want you to take in, is that you can be in it without feeling stressed. And that's the part that catches people. Survival mode isn't always panic or visible overwhelm or tears. For high-functioning people, it's often the opposite. It's often calm under pressure. It's often composure. It's "I'm fine" said convincingly. It is the symptoms being so familiar, so long-standing, that they don't even register as symptoms anymore. They register as you. That's what survival mode looks like in capable people. So let me give you the signs, not the obvious ones, because most of you would recognize the obvious ones, but the quiet, sneakier ones, the ones that high performers almost never name, and see how many of these land. So one, wired but tired. You're exhausted, but you can't quite settle. You sit down at the end of the day and your body is heavy, but your mind is buzzing. Sleep doesn't come easily, or you fall asleep fast, but you wake at 3 a.m. with the to-do list waiting for you. Two, you cannot fully switch off on a Saturday. The thing that gives it away is what happens to your body when you've got nothing to do. If unstructured time makes you anxious, restless, irritable, if you have to immediately fill it with something, your nervous system has forgotten how to be at rest. Rest now feels like you're doing the wrong thing, like it's the wrong setting, and it can actually feel uncomfortable. Three, food has stopped being a pleasure. You eat to fuel. You can't quite remember the last time a meal felt like an event. Maybe you graze, eat at your desk, or you forget that you've eaten or not eaten. You stand up to eat. Eating, which is meant to be one of the most parasympathetic settling acts that you do every day, has become functional. Four, sleep doesn't restore you anymore. even when you get enough. You hit the hours, the tracker is happy, you wake up, and you still feel like you've been hit by something because the architecture isn't restoring. Your stress system is keeping the depth too shallow. 5, joy doesn't fully land. You go to the holiday, you go to the dinner, you have the win, and you can see intellectually that this is good, but the actual feeling of it is muted. It is filtered, as if you're watching your life through a slightly tinted glass. 6, low-grade everything. So low-grade irritability, low-grade anxiety, low-grade gut niggles, bloating, slower bowels, food sensitivities creeping in, low-grade hair changes, libido that's quietly disappearing but without ceremony, energy that doesn't lift even after a so-called good weekend. None of it bad enough to be a diagnosis, all of it just your body whispering to you. 7, the Sunday night thing. You cannot be fully present on a Sunday because you're already on Monday. You don't actually relax all weekend because you know Monday is coming and the bracing for it never quite stops. 8, holidays feel hard. This is the one that almost nobody admits to. Slowing down doesn't feel good. It feels uncomfortable or almost wrong. You spend the first few days agitated. You can't settle. You can't enjoy it. And only fully drop in towards the end. Then you go home and you wonder why your holiday body slips away within days. The discomfort wasn't the holiday, it was you being asked to actually let go of something that you had forgotten how to release. If 3 or 4 of those landed with you, you're in survival mode. You're not lazy, you're not weak, you're not making it up. You're in a state your body has been holding for you for a very long time. Now, why does this happen to high performers in particular? Because there is a specific trap here, and I want you to see it clearly. Capability masks depletion. The people who get stuck in survival mode are very often the ones who function best in it. They are reliable, they deliver, they don't fall apart, usually very good in a crisis because their nervous system is permanently configured for one, which means the world around them stops noticing that they are struggling. The work keeps coming, the expectations keep climbing, the reliance on you only deepens. And then there is the system you have built around yourself. Most high performers have constructed a life that rewards exactly the symptoms, your reliability, your composure, your stamina, your I'll just handle it. Your survival mode is, in effect, paying you. Stepping out of it would mean disappointing people, saying no, doing less, becoming even briefly less capable. And that is genuinely frightening because it has been your currency. And then there is the most insidious piece of all. By the time you have been here long enough, it begins to feel like personality. You don't say, I'm in a stress state. You say, I'm just a type A person. I've always been like this. I work better under pressure. I'm not someone who can sit still. Those are not personality traits. Many of them are physiological adaptations to a stress state you have been in for so long, you can't remember being any other way. And that is the hard truth. But it's also an enormously hopeful one because adaptations change. Personality doesn't have to. So what does running on reserves actually do? Because I think for a lot of you, the answer to why should I take this seriously needs the physiology. So here it is. Years in survival mode dysregulates your cortisol. Sometimes it stays too high. Sometimes, and this is the more advanced stage, it flattens out, stops responding the way it should. And you lose the natural daily rise and fall that gives you energy in the morning and ease in the evening. That HPA axis dysregulation drives almost everything else. It affects your blood sugar. Cortisol and insulin are tightly linked. And the constant low-level activation makes your blood sugar less stable. Hello, the 3 a.m. wake up. Hello to the weight that won't shift. Hello to that afternoon crash. It affects your gut. Chronic sympathetic activation suppresses proper digestion, alters your microbiome, weakens the gut barrier. You get bloating, slower bowels, food sensitivities that didn't used to be there. It affects your sleep architecture, the very thing we talked about a few episodes ago. The depth doesn't come, recovery is shallow. It affects your immune system. People in chronic survival mode get more colds, they take longer to recover, lingering viruses don't quite clear. And over time, autoimmune conditions very often begin to appear. Hashimoto's in particular in women very often shows up in this state, which I've talked about in detail before. This is the soil that autoimmune disease grows in. It affects your hormones. Your sex hormones share raw materials with cortisol. Chronic stress quietly steals from them. Cycles become irregular, PMS worsens, libido drops, and when perimenopause arrives, it hits even harder. It affects your brain. Decision fatigue becomes constant, creativity narrows, memory wobbles, the ability to feel pleasure dims because the dopamine system gets compressed. And on top of it all, it is genuinely depleting. The thing about reserves is that they get spent. And when they are spent, the body's capacity for everything else, for new stress, for illness, for healing, for joy, runs low. You can sustain this for a very long time, but sustaining it is not the same as thriving. And there is a real cost accumulating in the background, whether you feel it yet or not. And the hardest part of this whole conversation is the recognition itself, because functioning is not the same as thriving. And the dangerous thing about survival mode is that the depletion is gradual. There is rarely a single moment. You don't crash, you just slowly compress. Everyone around you thinks you are fine because you look fine, you sound fine, you deliver fine, you think you're fine because you cannot remember being any different. The version of you that used to feel things fully, sleep deeply, enjoy a slow morning, look forward to nothing in particular, that version of you is far enough away now that you have stopped expecting her back. So this episode is partly just a small invitation to actually look, to get quiet enough for long enough to ask yourself an honest question. What do I feel like when nothing is expected of me? Can I sit with nothing to do on a Sunday morning and feel okay? Or is there an immediate pulling, an immediate need to do something, to be useful, to fill space? That answer, that one answer, tells you almost everything. Which brings me to the prompt I most want you to take into August whilst we're on our break. The instinct when you take a holiday in this state is to use it to catch up on rest, to finally sleep, to finally relax, and that is natural. But I want you to try something different this time. Don't use August to catch up. Use August to notice. Specifically, notice what your body does when you take the foot off the accelerator. Notice the discomfort if it comes. Notice the bracing if it doesn't release. Notice the agitation in the first few days. Notice what surfaces when the doing stops, because survival mode is partly built on the doing. The moment you put the doing down, you find out what was underneath. You don't have to solve everything. You don't have to come back changed. You just have to look. Because for many of you, this will be the first real honest data you have had on your own state in years. And data is what you can then act on. This is genuinely the work I would want you to use the break for. Not another protocol, not a new diet, not a fitness reset. Just actually finding out what you have been carrying. And the last thing I want to give you, because I never want to leave you with no direction, is what coming out of survival mode actually looks like. So you know what you're walking towards. It is slower, not more. It is not a more productive version of you. It is a softer, more present version of you. And that makes you more productive. The first sign is usually that the bracing in your body releases a little. Your shoulders drop, your jaw unclenches, your breaths get longer without you trying. Little things that you just wouldn't notice unless you really pay attention. Then you start sleeping differently. Not necessarily more, but more deeply. You wake feeling like the night actually did something for you. Then food stops being functional. You feel hunger properly. You enjoy a meal again. You stop standing up at the counter to eat. Then your nervous system relearns rest. A Sunday afternoon with nothing on it stops feeling like a problem. Pressure slowly returns and you start to notice the difference between numb and quiet. They're not the same thing. And then sometimes months in, the deeper changes happen. The energy lifts and stays lifted. The mood that has a baseline of okayness rather than effort. The work you can still do, but from a different physiological place. The version of you that you had forgotten existed. This is not a weekend project. It is months of consistent support. The foundations that I talk about on this podcast all the time. The sleep, the nutrient density, movement that nourishes, not depletes, genuine social connection, time off, and often professional support, because some of this is genuinely hard to unwind on your own. And honestly, this is the moment that the Mitoimmune Health Assessment was designed for. The moment someone listens to an episode like this and realizes they have been quietly running on reserves for longer than they care to admit and wants to actually see properly what is stretched and where to begin. So if today has landed somewhere with you, take that as your prompt. The link to the free Mitoimmune Health Assessment is in the show notes below. And take my book, Optimal You, on holiday with you. Read it on the plane, read it on the beach, because the foundations underneath coming out of survival mode are exactly what the book lays out in full. And that is the end of this season. We're taking our summer break, but we will be back with a whole new set of episodes and some great guests for you. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for the messages. In the meantime, please gently take the work of this episode with you, not as another thing to do, but as a quiet, honest question to sit with throughout the summer. What have you been carrying and what would you like to put down? Look after yourself and have a wonderful summer. You've been listening to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner and author of Optimal You. You can find me at goodhealth.uk, that's G-O-O-D-E, health.uk, on Instagram at Good Health Clinic, G-O-O-D-E, Health Clinic, and wherever you get your podcasts. Show notes and all resources are linked below. I'll see you next week.